Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Sometimes I'm right, and I could be wrong. My own beliefs are in my song. Just a banker, a drummer, and then makes no difference what group I'm in. I am everyday people. Let's get it going. Time for the morning show, Wednesday edition. Happy hump day, everybody. Have your host, James, here, joined by our head of production, our co-host, Seth Haphacker.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio. Thanks for being here, everybody. Hope you're having a great day out there. Happy Wednesday. Good things on the way for you. El Cafe, birthday and anniversary club coming up. Looking forward to that one. Older and wiser has a ceiling. We're going to get into that.
They finally reached the glass ceiling on that one. All right.
Some pretty interesting information about how much we our brains get, quote unquote, wiser as we get older and some of that and everything.
Okay. Does it get more wrinkly? You know, the brain's pretty wrinkly to begin with.
Definitely. Yeah. Gets a little more gray. political bumpers. We'll talk about that a little bit. Along with that, the best and worst cities to drive in. You might see a tie-in on those. We'll see.
Okay. Interesting.
We will kick off entertainment news with the 10 o'clock hour. I've been waiting to talk about this one with you, Seth, and I wanted to do a little homework on it. The Actors Union going against this AI actress and some of the noise that we've been hearing over the last week about that.
Interesting.
I want to get into that one.
Sure.
What scene did Leo and Kate Winslet, Leonardo DiCaprio and Kate Winslet, not want in Titanic?
Okay.
I got that one for you. And a new clue, a new competition series that's coming up I want to talk about, too. And a couple of other topics for us. We'll get into those. And some good stories of the day, touch on our schedule as well. We got some Willie and family tickets to give away.
Willie and family.
Be listening for that, everybody. Mm-hmm. But we begin with Christmas.
Wait, all right.
Wait, no, sorry.
Why not?
Well, sort of. We just entered October, and yet you've probably seen a Christmas tree up somewhere, maybe even in your city's downtown or something like that. Mm-hmm. I'm curious if anybody out there has actually seen anything Christmassy so far, other than in department stores or something like that.
Right. We expect it by now for that, yeah.
Pittsburgh just put up their downtown Christmas tree more than 2 months before the holidays.
Hmm.
That usually triggers plenty of adults who like the holidays to remain within design time frames. But even some kids have beef with Pittsburgh.
Oh, hey.
Now, if I was a kid and this happened to me and I lived in the Pittsburgh area, I'd be very upset. Those last 2 months before Christmas are dire if you're a knucklehead kid. The only way to get on the good list is in those last 2 months. And you're going to take that? You're going to take two months out of the year that I mean,
telling you.
I'm telling you, the only time I got good gifts was those last 2 months that I, you know, had to do the good deeds.
And your best behavior, right?
There's a local news report about the Christmas tree, which was put up in the plaza near their ice rink. But the ice rink doesn't even open till November 14th.
So the city department, they're just so ahead of schedule on everything. They're like, what can we do? Let's get the tree up. Let's do it now. We'll get it done and get it ready to go.
So they interviewed a young boy named Marcus Woodruff who said, I'm really excited because we're going to skate, but I gotta say they should have waited for Halloween first. So you brought up a really strong point there. I'm a little disappointed in the journalism here. Why did nobody ask why they did this?
Yeah. Anybody?
I looked at two different reports in CBS Pittsburgh and I couldn't find like why they did this so early. Did they need to make room? Like, all right, we got to get this Christmas tree out of here. We need room over here. Was it to your, you know, what you're saying? Was it the tree was going to go bad? I don't know. Like,
I love the idea. Man, we got to get this tree out before it goes bad. Oh,
what is it that would make them put this tree up so early? There's a part of me that wonders, did they do it just to get some like conversation about Pittsburgh?
Wow, I don't know. Possibly.
I mean, the Steelers aren't that good this year. I mean, maybe is it that? I don't know.
I just learned something about Pittsburgh, by the way. I did not know this. This is why trivia is fun, because you learn things, too, that you don't know. So Pittsburgh is the city of bridges.
Yeah.
Because it has over 400 bridges?
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't know that, man.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, oh, wait a minute. They've got three rivers that go through Pittsburgh. So now it makes a little bit more sense because of all the, I mean, that's a lot of causeway there that you have to deal with. So
I knew that because of the Dark Knight Rises. and they filmed a lot of it in Pittsburgh, and I heard Christopher Nolan talking about one of the bridges, hey. And it got me curious because one of my favorite things about Chicago is the bridges.
Oh yes,
and I was like, well, I was a little curious, to be honest, a little competitive. Like, well, how's their bridges compared to ours?
Well, they got a lot more just because they've got more rivers, but that's it. Yeah,
and they're pretty nice. But their river doesn't go backwards. Who can say that?
Who wants to say that?
What's the earliest you can put up a Christmas tree? There is no single earliest date to put up a Christmas tree, but according to some surveys and some people out there, November is the earliest that some will say, and Black Friday is the particular day that a lot of people do.
See, now, just inadvertently, people have figured out, you know, because I know why people do that, I think, is because it's Thanksgiving, you know, after you're done. You're done with Thanksgiving, the day after Thanksgiving.
Makes sense now.
In the holiday season, right? It feels that way anyway. But it's also, that's actually the, when Advent begins, is usually the day, is the weekend after Thanksgiving. So inadvertently, people are doing the exact right thing. Because if you want to encompass all of Christmas, that includes Advent, so just put it up that first weekend, you know, after Thanksgiving, and you'll probably be right on where you're supposed to be. So
I think that's a great reason.
Which is what my family does. If you didn't guess, that's how we
right
do it.
On, so, right yeah. on. I like that, actually. It makes sense in my brain. That's I believe that's the way we've always done it. I would say that's the earliest we ever do it.
Probably is the
Friday after Christmas, or Friday after Thanksgiving.
Right.
I don't know the latest we ever have, because that's another question I had. What is the latest? What is the latest hey, you can put up your Christmas tree?
If you want to go old school, Christmas Eve. That was the traditional time when Germans put the tree up, was on Christmas Eve.
And that's what I got here as, as an answer. Christmas Eve, the first week of December, that is, and in fact, it is quite popular in Europe to do it that way.
That's the traditional way to do it, the European way. But, you know, we do things here different because we need to celebrate it more, I guess.
I just immediately thought of my mom and how much energy and time she puts into putting up that Christmas tree. Again, my Jewish mother, how much time she puts into Christmas. That woman's going to get a month out of it. Like Thursday, so say she put it up on Christmas Eve. That thing's staying up through January 20th.
Right.
At the very least, that Christmas tree ain't going nowhere. There's no way my mom's putting in the work that she does for like a day. They're just not happening.
So, and for folks out there who may not know, so Advent, of course, is, you know, 4 Sundays before Christmas. But when you hear about the 12 days of Christmas, now those are the 12 days after Christmas. Those aren't the first 12 days before Christmas. So the final day of Christmas is called Epiphany in the Christian church, also known as Twelfth Night. Mm-hmm. Which you may have heard from, you know, maybe a Shakespeare play or something like that. Usually that's the last day, and that's when you're usually, I mean, not usually, but traditionally I think it's when they take down the Christmas trees after the final day of Christmas, that 12th day. So
I like the idea, and we've seen the numbers show, Black Friday isn't what it used to be. Like the sales are not as good as they used to be, and we have so many different sale times of the year. I mean, car companies every month is a different sale.
They have any excuse, to have a sale.
Which, more power to them. That's smart.
Nothing wrong with
that. It's good marketing and everything. But we kind of, there's so much sales. There's whatever the industry, they have a sale going on all the time.
Right.
I don't think that the sales part of Black Friday is a big sell anymore.
Mm-hmm.
No pun intended there. I would love to see a tradition or a new thing really pick up of like a Green Friday, where it's just like it's just known that's what we're doing on Friday, putting up our Christmas trees. We're too busy to go shopping.
See, now that's a great idea.
To go crazy in a store, fighting for a Cabbage Patch doll or something. Like we're all putting up our Christmas trees. That's what we're doing.
Well, and now you've got Black Friday, you got Small Business Saturday. And then you jump to Monday, it's Cyber Monday, and then it's Giving Tuesday or something. I can't remember if it's Giving Tuesday or whatever it is, you know, the charity one.
Yeah.
And it's all, you know, in a line there now that we've got all these days now. I mean, That's why that Black Friday isn't what it used to be, because we've got all this other stuff now and all the online shopping you can do.
And I think part of that is also a lot of those other days you mentioned, people putting a lot more energy in, and bluntly their money into those, into the, whether it's cyber,
I agree,
or it is local.
Yeah.
You know,
shop small or local, whatever, on that Saturday. I think that in the last few years has really jumped up as people started doing that. Yeah.
Love to hear from you on this one. 715-424-2600. What's the earliest and the latest you've put up your Christmas tree? Will you help us start this new thing of Green Fridays?
I got an idea. So if you are really wanting to put your tree up, go ahead, put the tree up, you know, if it's like mostly probably a fake tree. Mm. Decorate it for the holidays. So put Halloween decorations on it till Halloween.
I love this
idea. And then you got Thanksgiving, put Thanksgiving. And then after that, the tree's already up. You just got to throw the Christmas stuff on there.
In summer, you put a bathing suit on it.
Exactly. Fourth of July, maybe stuff on there.
Have fun with it.
Holiday tree.
I like the idea of that. Also love the idea of I get to put the tree up and that's it.
Exactly.
I don't have to take it back down. There are, I would rather. Here's another one. I don't know if this is the case for a lot of people, but for me, I've only had a couple of real trees in the home, mm-hmm. the places I've lived. I find them a lot easier to take care of than a plastic one.
In some ways, you're right, yeah.
Putting a plastic tree together and taking it apart is just maddening.
Maddening.
It is a puzzle without a picture. It is just...
No instructions.
Yeah.
Because you lost those a long time ago.
Sure, you did it a year ago. That doesn't matter.
You've forgotten everything.
Might as well be 30 years ago.
It's all gone. All that knowledge is completely gone.
Let's take a call before we go to break. Good morning. You're on the show.
Yeah, good morning. As a kid growing up, we always put our Christmas tree up on Christmas Eve.
Mm.
Wow. And that thing never came down before Valentine's Day.
Right on. That's
awesome. Oh, that is awesome.
That's awesome. Did you enjoy that tradition? Did you like doing that way?
Yeah, because most of us kids were in bed by that time, and mom and dad would.
Wow. Oh, sure, sure.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Oh, so it was just there when you woke up in the morning. That's cool.
That is really cool.
That's
cool. Oh, that's awesome.
Yep.
Thanks for sharing that, sir. You have a good morning.
Yeah, you too.
Yeah, that's interesting.
That's a good one. I like that.
He's the first person I've talked to that's done that, and mm-hmm. that really sold me on it, actually. I kind of wish now that I might have done that with my kid. I can't imagine their eyes when they got up.
Can you imagine?
And to see that is kind of a cool
idea. The tree
idea.
All lit up, all the presents underneath
that's
there and stuff.
Cool.
Yeah,
that's
that'd be awesome.
Cool. Something else cool going on right now. Our good friends over at American Heroes Cafe are open. They got at least another 15 some minutes or anything. I just wanted to wish them a good morning mm-hmm. and remind everybody that every second and fourth Wednesday of the month over at Crossview Church from 7:30 to 9:30. All veterans, military, police, and firefighters are welcome. Have a cup of coffee, some conversation, and enjoy yourself at American Heroes Cafe. A shout out to them. Hope this morning went well for them.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed.
And just an office note here that we wanted to let everybody know that tomorrow our office may have abbreviated hours due to Pam being out of the office. If someone needs to come, it might be the best thing for them to come. Call first, 715-424-1300.
Right.
Also keeping in mind that's probably a good rule of thumb in general.
Yes.
Outside of our guests that join us for our shows and mm-hmm. those sorts of things, if you're looking to stop by, it might not be a bad idea to call ahead anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. Just in case.
Never know. Never know. We're a small staff.
Yes, so we are. We come idea. In and out a lot. Yeah, that's true.
We are a small staff, but we do a lot of heavy lifting, and we are able to do a lot of that with you guys out there. We are needing you, though. We need you to do some work right now. If you are a nonprofit group and you are hosting a Halloween activity for this month, we want to know about it. Let us know. We'd like to share it with our listeners. Please reach out to us at info@wfhr.com. You can email us that way or call our front desk at 715-424-1300. We'll have trick-or-treat times from our local communities coming up towards the end of the month as we get closer to All Hallows Eve.
Yes.
We'll take a time out. We'll come back with the El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club on the morning show.
Hey, everybody, let's have some fun. You only live but once. And when you're dead, you're done. So let the good time roll.
Welcome back, everyone. I said let the Time for the El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club. One of our favorite parts of the day. We get to celebrate you and our birthdays and anniversaries. And a shout out to Seth and the great bumper work. Oh, that, I haven't heard that song in a long time.
Let the
man.
Good times roll, everyone.
Something
yeah.
about his voice when he kicks into it right there.
That's awesome.
Oh, you feel it. Oh, that's awesome. We think our friends over at El Cafe are awesome. Visit them today, everybody. They got some amazing homemade pies over there for you. Dutch apple umps tea and Rocky Road blueberry cheesecake. Peanut butter fudge, wow. lemon meringue.
Rocky Road pie?
Yeah, that sounded interesting.
That's I wonder how they do that. Wow, that's interesting. Yeah, I'm intrigued now.
Of course, some amazing specials over there, including a Mediterranean Benedict, chicken breast croissant. Oh, man, they come up with some great stuff over there.
Always good.
All great stuff going on. And keep in mind that our great friends at El Cafe also have their El Cafe haunted house going on, the Port Edwards Trunk or Treat.
Oh, cool.
That is going to be happening October 26th. They're going to have a best costume contest for ages 1 through 5 and 5 through 10. It'll go from 3 to 5, again, over in Port Edwards, right over there at their Trunk or Treat event.
Oh, that's cool.
That's going to be a lot of fun.
That's going to be fun, yeah.
That's going to be good. Check that out and support our good friends at El Cafe. Buy local, support local. Head on over there today, everybody, so we can live vicariously through you. And, of course, get us those birthdays and anniversaries so we can celebrate with you. Email us info. Email it? Well, how did I say that right there? Email us. Email. When you email us. Email us.
Sound like Igor, man.
I don't know what that
the Halloween
was.
Thing
I don't
there,
think I've ever made that sound before.
Brains, brains.
Info at WFHR.com.
Like Peter Lorre, very good.
Any time to reference Peter Lorre is a good time. We encourage you to get us those birthdays and anniversaries. You can, of course, direct message us on our Facebook pages, and you can call on up.
715-424-2600. Call up and wish someone a happy birthday.
We'd love to hear from you. Love those live ones.
And direct, yes.
Yeah, call up, everybody. Seth, I need a 1 through 3.
Two today.
All right, gives us that qualifier. Boom, 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 and boom. All right, and first up, want to wish very happy birthday to my son-in-law, Matt Hoyt.
Happy birthday, Mac.
Matt is awesome. Matt is amazing. I am so darn lucky. I have two daughters, and both of them have amazing husbands.
That's awesome. Very cool.
Do I keep them in check? Yes. But I don't think they really care.
I'm sure.
Matt is such a good hearted soul and a kind guy, and also funny as all get out.
Awesome.
Hilarious guy, very fun, and a new dad. Got to see him carrying Fig around the other day at the wedding. It was awesome.
Very cool.
And I love the kid. He's a great guy. Great guy. And you know, as a father, you can't ask for much more. Than somebody like
That's
Matt
right.
to be with your oldest. Mm-hmm. He's a good guy. Good guy. Enjoy your day, bud. Enjoy your day. Talk to you later. And hopefully beat you in hockey later next week or so. I think I'm playing him next week in our fantasy hockey league. I'm not sure.
Oh, gosh. That just started, too. I forgot. Yeah.
Yeah. Woo! Yeah. I got to keep remembering that. Yep. Yeah. We also want to wish a very happy birthday to Liz Bowen.
Happy birthday, Liz.
Enjoy the day, Liz. Hope it's a good one for you. And we wish a happy birthday to Linda Hamm.
Happy birthday, Linda.
Enjoy your day, Linda. And our qualifiers celebrating their 37th anniversary.
All right.
Herb and Jonah Kronholm.
Okay.
Herb and Jonah Kronholm.
Herb and Jonah. Happy anniversary, you two.
Wishing you both a very good one. Enjoy your day, Herb and Jonah. Hope it's a great day for you. Jonah's a beautiful name, by the way.
That's very
a great
cool.
name. Let's see who you share your birthdays and anniversaries with. August T. Jones is 32, the half of the 2.5 Men.
Okay. Oh, right. Yeah, I remember him.
He left the show in a real, like, fuss and then kind of came back for the finale, but I don't know how much he wanted to act after that. A lot of child actors, you know, they get burnt out.
They really experienced some not so great stuff when they do that. It seems that way anyway.
And it didn't really, even if he wanted to keep working, I don't know how much he can when you leave a show like that, especially at a young age. It doesn't bode well for you as an actor. Bruno Mars is 40.
Wow. Bruno.
Just the Way You Are, Uptown Funk. He's got so many good hits. Mm-hmm. Grenade is a great song.
Yeah,
it's a very well-written song. Also, I it feels like a challenge. Like somebody went to Bruno Mars and like, all right, write a love song with Grenade in it. Like, you know? Like,
it does sound like that.
He nailed it, man. I love that song. Nick Cannon is 45, host of The Masked Singer, stand-up comedian, actor. He was on, he did the show on MTV for a while and stuff. He's had a couple
Oh, that's right. Oh, my gosh.
Nick Cannon, very good host. very good at the hosting gig. I haven't watched a lot of The Masked Singer or anything like that, but I've seen bits and pieces, and I've seen him host other things, and he does a fantastic job hosting.
Dying art. It is a dying art. Yeah.
He's found a niche with that. Cool. I don't know if he was a musician or something. I know he had some other stuff that he was doing that this wasn't necessarily where he was seeing he was going to go with his career.
Right.
But it's worked out for him really well.
Exactly.
You know, I've heard Drew Carey talk about this a little bit. You know, he misses stand-up, doesn't miss the road. That Price is Right ticket paycheck is awfully nice when you don't have to be on the road
you know,
300 days a year and stuff. Yeah. Nick Cannon a little bit in that kind of same element.
It's a good gig if you can get it.
Yeah. Let's see here. Matt Damon is 55. Jason Bourne is 55.
Wow.
I think Matt Damon is actually becoming more likable and more, and I mean like by audiences. His movies have always done well.
Sure.
But
sure.
The older Matt Damon and everything has been much more, and I think, what audiences are looking for.
Gotcha.
Young Matt Damon was kind of stuck in no man's land as a leading man.
Right.
Where he gets some roles here and there and everything, but his work didn't necessarily stand out.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like him as an older actor has been doing more standout work.
Right.
And it's there's something about seeing an actor who's talented and good and get to a place in their career where I'm all right. I got nothing to prove.
Right.
I got nothing to prove here.
Right.
So you're finding them find not only fun work and sometimes take chances, like he's done a bunch of stuff with Jimmy Kimmel and gotten into a little more comedy here and there and everything, while also just kind of pushing themselves.
Right. Right. And it's, I mean, when it's all said and done, we go back and look at his career, we're going to be like, wow, that was a really interesting career arc.
Yeah. Yeah. He's very good. I still don't know that he's done anything that tops Good Will Hunting.
I mean, his first film. Yeah. First big movie. Yeah.
His scenes with Robin Williams in that are impeccable.
Yeah.
They are acting 101. Mm-hmm. They're just incredible. They're so good that there's a scene where Robin makes him laugh. He's talking about a moment with his wife, his former wife. And it's so good. And Matt Damon's reactions are so good in it. The camera shakes because the cameraman is laughing at Robin Williams.
I never noticed that. It's great.
And they kept it in the scene. Gus Van Sant, one of the most articulate directors there's ever been, and he's like, no, that's too good, we got to keep it.
That's really cool.
Good actor. Teddy Riley is 58, super producer of Blackstreet, Rex and Effects, so many great bands.
Oh my gosh, 90s. Yes, he did.
I don't think I've played Rex and Effects on Unlabeled. I haven't played that one yet, I don't think. Keeping up the tradition of great impersonators on Saturday Night Live at 30 Rock History, Daryl Hammond is 70 today.
Wow.
SNL master impressionist. If you wanted to say that he was the best impersonator they've ever had, I would not fight you on it, even though I'm a humongous Phil Hartman fan.
Sure.
Daryl Hammond's impersonator.
Daryl Hammond was very good, though.
So good. I mentioned Phil Hartman. That was one of his best friends growing up, and one of his best friends in the industry.
Oh, okay.
When Phil Hartman died, Daryl Hammond started wearing black, and he still does to this day.
Oh, wow.
Anytime you see him in interviews or anything like that, he's wearing black as in memory of Phil Hartman.
Wow.
I have no doubt that picking up the impersonation bit is in part because of that.
Yeah, I'm guessing.
And he has taken over as announcer duties for Saturday Night Live, you know, for Don Pardo. You may recognize his voice when he's introducing musical guests and all that.
The late,
and everything.
Great Don Pardo. Yes, that's cool, though. That's really, I mean, when you're stepping into those shoes, I mean, that's legendary shoes right there.
It's not only smart, because if you notice this, one thing that Lorne Michaels has never gotten credit for is wanting to give people that leave SNL jobs, continuing to help them get work and all those things. A lot of that stuff is behind the scenes. You don't ever hear about it.
Sure.
And then there's stuff like this where, hey, Daryl Hammond's not working that much.
Right.
He's got a great voice. Yeah, let's put him on here.
Yeah.
You know,
there you go.
And you're continuing to keep the legacy going and also keeping these actors working. Robert Cool Bell is 75 today from Cool and the Gang. Is he the cool in Cool and the Gang? Is that how
apparently he is? Yeah,
I'm gonna be 100% honest here. If I was in Cool and the Gang, that's how I'd introduce myself.
Hi,
I'm James. I'm the cool in Cool and the Gang. Come on,
I love that idea.
That's pretty good.
Who knows if he's even the leader or not?
Yeah,
what about the rest of the guys? They're just the gang.
Please,
come on. They're like, wait, man, I'm getting the thing. It's no fair.
You pull up a picture of Cool and the Gang, and you tell me which one's Robert. You go right ahead. Nothing against them. I'm just saying.
No, not at all.
A lot of hits. Celebration, Ladies Night, Get Down With It. Get Down With It is one of the most funky songs you will ever hear in your
life. Good stuff.
The legend Sigourney Weaver is 76 today.
Wow.
Ellen Ripley in the Alien movies. Dana in the Ghostbusters movies. Dr. Grace Augustine in the Avatar movies. And, of course, famously played Jane Goodall.
That's oh wow, I had forgotten about
her greatest acting performance, and that is saying something about Sigourney Weaver.
Right, and I know she. A lot of people really love her performance in Galaxy Quest.
Yeah,
as
yeah.
well, which is a role. I don't really want to repeat it on the air. It's a little thing, but her demands.
Yeah.
For being in that movie were hilarious. I just think, look it up, everyone. I'm not going to say it over.
I saw that movie and came out of it like, okay, so Sigourney Weaver changed the game for actors, female actresses when it came to action roles.
Mm-hmm.
Her role as Ellen Ripley.
Yep.
Completely different after that.
Yep.
Linda Hamilton and Terminator a bit, but very similar.
Very similar.
Near times and of each other and everything. Both deserve huge credit for where we are now, mm-hmm. where Angelina Jolie and Catherine Zeta-Jones. I mean, I can keep going with actresses who have played action, leading action roles.
Yeah.
That changed everything. But her doing comedy. I came out of that movie Galaxy Quest and I'm like, why is she not doing more comedy?
Seriously, she's so
hilarious.
Good.
Hilarious. She's very funny. Just complete actor. Complete actor. Chevy Chase is 82. One of the more probably the most complicated person to ever come out of Saturday Night Live.
Chevy Chase. Showbiz history, maybe. Wow.
One of the more talented, funny people to ever grace the Saturday Night Live stage. One of the best writers. The early days, the not ready for primetime players, doesn't happen without Chevy Chase. Mm-hmm. All that needs to be said. You can't tell the history of SNL without it. So many fun movies in the 80s that I just loved.
Mm-hmm.
I could not get enough of Chevy Chase when I was a kid. And then I learned what a jerk he is. And found out why he left SNL and all that mm-hmm. and how big his ego is. And Chevy Chase's ego could probably not fit in the state of Montana. And not for nothing, didn't age well, him as an actor, as a comedian.
No.
He didn't grow with the skill. He didn't get better. He got very comfortable in his skill set.
In the shtick, yeah.
And never got any better. He did win me over a little bit on the TV show Community for a while, but then it turned out that he just was even a bigger jerk as an older man. And it's such a shame, because Chevy Chase, the talent... just incredible.
Yep.
Wonderful comedic timing.
Yeah. Oh, fantastic.
Wonderful comedic timing. Wonderful writer. His sketch with Richard Pryor is maybe the greatest sketch in Saturday Night Live history. It's probably the most important. It's probably the most important sketch in Saturday Night Live history. Him and Richard Pryor going back and forth. And Chevy was the only one that was willing to do it. And Chevy was the only one that could do it.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of great people. People, you listen to me, know how I feel about Belushi. But nobody could have done that sketch other than him and Richard Pryor. And it's an important one. All that said, it all gets lost in the shuffle because he's such a jerk. Like it's hard. It's a shame because he should be noted for all these other things.
Right.
And instead, so just a lesson, you know, treat people right.
Yes.
R.L. Stine is 82. All you Goosebumps fans out there.
Ooh.
I know my sister's.
That was a little bit past our time doing that. But man, if I know that if we would have been in that age group, I would have been all in on those books.
Same. I remember always seeing my sister with those books and he's getting a lot of young kids to read.
Yeah, 100%.
They got a lot of young kids to read.
Man, those were popular. Holy cow.
Jesse Jackson is 84. Noteworthy right there.
Wow.
Civil rights leader. Paul Hogan is 86. Crocodile Dundee himself.
That ain't a knife.
This is
a knife.
Such a great line. He delivers it so good.
He's so good.
Happy birthday and anniversary to everybody out there celebrating. Mm-hmm. Celebrate with our good friends over at El Cafe. We'll be back with more show. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Got the spooky bumpers for you for October.
That's right.
Love it. Nice work, man. Love these. Seth and James hanging out with you. Thanks so much for hanging out with us, everybody. Got some good stuff lined up for you for the end of the hour. We're going to get into the best and worst cities to drive in. Got that one for you coming up.
It's the classic. Every year we do that one. Yeah.
It's one of those ones.
Yeah.
It's one of those ones whenever they release that list.
Yes.
There's a new study in the journal Intelligence about a metric called Cognitive Personality Functioning Index. Cognitive Personality Functioning Index.
Okay.
It's a, quote, measure of how intelligence, judgment, and other key traits evolve over an average lifespan.
Okay.
So we're talking about, is it, you know, getting older and wiser?
Okay.
The actual phrase and how much truth there is in that.
Sure.
And this isn't just a random theory. It is based on decades of psychological research.
Right.
We're talking going almost back to the 1900s type of research.
Ooh.
And it shows a pattern. The overall functioning of the human brain reaches its peak between the ages of 55 and 60.
Okay.
But not everything follows the same trajectory.
Mm-hmm.
So this is broken down in a bunch of different categories. For one, fluid intelligence. That includes reasoning, memory span, and processing speed. Mm. That tends to peak in your early 20s and then fades steadily.
Okay. All right. Makes sense.
Crystallized intelligence, which is the accumulation of knowledge and experience. That continues to build over the decades.
Okay.
So there, that one thing in
particular. Boy, that explains a lot.
Right. You're just building on that. Like, think of this. I don't know, for me, this works a little bit better. Maybe for others, use whatever metaphor or whatever you want. But for me, I look at my brain like a house.
Right. Okay.
And a lot of this stuff, you're building the basement, then you've got the upstairs and all that. And you're just going forward. With crystallized intelligence, you're building a mansion. You're just building on top of on top of on top.
That's right. That's right.
Personality traits also mature and increase through early adulthood before leveling off later in life.
Mm-hmm.
Like consciousness, the diligence to see things through, and emotional stability, the ability to keep calm under stress.
Okay.
Those are things that you can mature and grow at over time.
Okay, that's cool.
Moral reasoning, the ability to weigh competing principles deepens with experience, producing sounder judgments about fairness and duty.
Okay.
So moral reasoning also is something that grows as you grow.
Okay.
Financial literacy also builds in the person a person's late 60s.
Okay.
Reflecting a lifetime of dealing with bills, people also get better at avoiding the sunk cost fallacy.
Fallacy, yeah.
Fallacy, mm-hmm. Thank you. And the human tendency to throw good money after bad.
Mm, oh, God, are we bad at that?
We get a little better as we get older.
That's interesting. Wow.
Of course, in theory.
In theory.
Well, actually, you know, not so much in theory, because even you might say, well, I know a guy in his 50s that still does this.
Mm-hmm.
He's better than he was in his 20s.
Right.
So it may not be great compared to you, but compared to him.
Because we all have to start at a different, but we all start at different right. points, right? Right? Yeah. Yeah.
And then finally, cognitive flexibility. The ability to shift smoothly between tasks and strategies when circumstances change. And cognitive empathy, the ability to get what others are thinking, both fades with age.
Oh.
And these are very important to think about.
So yeah, they are, actually.
Your ability to shift between tasks and strategies and basically thinking on your feet.
Right.
And being able to handle things under pressure.
Right.
And that fades the closer you get to your late 50s and 60s, along with empathy slowly declining as you get older.
As you get more set in your ways is how you would say it, right?
Yes.
Yeah, you get more set in your ways.
Throughout middle age, the gains more than offset the losses.
Mm-hmm.
The late 50s emerge as the sweet spot, the point when hard-won wisdom compensates for a downwindling speed.
Mm-hmm.
But it's downhill from there.
Of course.
This is one of the more important parts I wanted to note here. The report notes that this up and down mental prowess has the most obvious implications for the worlds of business and politics.
Oh.
You can go to thetimes.com to see the complete article.
Okay.
So going by this, we have an age for when you can become president. You cannot become president at 30. You can't do it at 33. You can't do it at 34.
Yep.
But you're 35 and all of a sudden everything changes.
Right.
Something about going from 34 to 35 makes you mature enough and ready to be able to handle the most powerful job in the world.
According to our Constitution, yes.
According to our Constitution. Yep. Why do we not have a topper on this?
Ooh.
I understand what ageism is, and I am very against ageism.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that our seniors out there have a world to offer us younger people.
Yes.
And that's one of the only times when we're going to get to say younger people, include myself.
Exclude yourself at this point.
That's
dwindling, yes.
I am so thankful for the seniors in my life and those mm-hmm. that I have lost. I miss them every day. I think that this is just as much for them as it is for the rest of us, that mm-hmm. there should be an age limit and when you can be involved in politics.
Yeah.
And in not saying this about ageism, this is science. I just broke down for you the literal way our brain breaks down.
Right.
So you're telling me an 80-year-old president can handle things the same as a 50-year-old president.
Mm-hmm.
You're telling me that makes sense. That it makes sense to have a person who could literally die at any minute, and that's not being morbid, that's science.
Yeah, the older you get, you're right.
That makes sense. A man who was recently seen on the White House roof, and it goes the same way for our former President Biden.
Yeah.
who had issues his own
Well-documented.
Well-documented issues.
Yeah.
Very well-documented. I'm sorry, and you can go ahead and get mad at me all you want about this one. But, and I mean but, I say this with all the love I have, not only for our fellow Americans out there, but for this country. This don't make sense.
Mm.
And I'll expand this into the business world.
Okay.
We have CEOs, we have people in charge right now that are in their late 70s and 80s, and they have nobody to take over.
Mm-hmm.
There is no plan for the next people.
Right.
This age range and the egotism of, okay, I can still do the job. It doesn't matter how old I get.
Mm-hmm.
It's selfish. It's incredibly selfish. And we need to be better than that.
Yeah.
We need to think. The part of politics is it ain't about you. It's about the people. It's about your constituents.
Right.
It's about doing that. If you are running for office and you are not minded enough to do this, if you don't see this stuff, you're being selfish and you should get out of politics.
Well, and think about this, okay? We shouldn't be investing this much influence and power in one person, period.
Yeah.
No matter what their age is, there should be isn't that why we became a country? So the king couldn't tell us what to do? The one dude who, by the way, went crazy when he got old?
Yeah, yeah.
The mad king. That was the whole reason we did the... That's what I thought, right? The country, so we could make our own decisions? That's what it was?
Doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
So but we shouldn't... I mean, first of all, it should be more democratic all the way around.
Yeah.
In politics, obviously, it should be. In business, yeah, it should be. We shouldn't invest all of this power and influence in one dude, you know, and it usually is a dude, right? Yeah, at this point. And they're usually old. So, I mean, let's pull back and take another look at this and say maybe there's ways we can circumvent this. You know, maybe if we made things a little more democratic, maybe then we wouldn't have these issues.
This is also, I think, and again, I'm throwing this stuff out there and completely understanding that I could be canceled at any second now. But that's how much I love this country.
Mm-hmm.
That's how much I love what I'm talking about here and how much I back it, and I mean it. And I've done my homework on this subject. I'm not just throwing this stuff out there.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to hitting a certain age, you deserve to be retired. You've earned
that's the
retirement.
Other thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You deserve that. It's a little bit like, hey, coach, I can still play. No, you're legs falling off, sit down.
Yeah, right.
Like, I know you want to play. I know you might want to still be a part of things. Volunteer. Go ahead and volunteer. There's a billion places for you to volunteer at that age.
There's so much to do.
There's a lot of ways to put back into your country and to do good by your country without, I don't know, running for office at an age you shouldn't be.
Right.
And I
making the rest of us have to face the consequences for it.
Are we so afraid of getting canceled or ageism or some of these things that we just are not, we don't talk about this stuff enough? I don't understand.
That's a good question. It's a good question.
Because that can't fear cannot keep us from doing things.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was the opposite of being American. You know, we don't let fear keep us
from
doing things. We're better than that. Be better than that and pay attention to this stuff, I think, at least. It's, again, science. You can find the complete article at intelligence.com if you'd like, or go to the Times and just let me make double sure here that I got the right website. There we go, thetimes.com. You can find the complete article there.
And come on, who doesn't want to sit on the porch, you know, in the rocking chair and dispense homespun wisdom? That's what you should be doing, right? That's what I want
to
do.
You still got plenty to give to society.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially when
it can be in a different way. That's all.
Exactly. We'll take a quick time out. We'll come back and we'll have some more fun on The Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back, everyone. Morning Show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Great song. Great song. Seth and James hanging out with you. Thanks so much for hanging out with us, everybody. A new study found political bumper stickers make you a road rage magnet. You are significantly more likely to be honked at or to have issues on the roads with those bumpers.
Really?
They find that it is not a party thing. Both sides get equal amount here.
Okay.
900 volunteers watched simulated driving videos that showed people cutting them off or driving like fools, and they had to rate how likely they'd be to honk at them.
Okay.
Some cars had bumper stickers supporting one party or the other, and some had no bumper stickers at all. The study found that seeing a bumper sticker you agree with has almost no effect.
Oh.
So even seeing the bumper sticker of seeing like somebody you just voted for or something along those lines doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
Wow.
You're still honking. You're still a honking machine. So, but if the fool didn't use a blinker has views that don't align with yours, you're much more likely to honk again regardless.
Oh,
but you also might add a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
So you're barking either way, but you bark a little bit more maybe if it's
if
one
you
don't
disagree.
Like.
And maybe I'm guessing it's you get that sense that you are allowed to do more if it's someone you don't agree with politically. Is that rah?
So that Dukakis 88 bumper sticker that you have,
that you still have on
you
your
still have might you know, rub people the wrong way. Might.
Egg in 88.
One of the oldest memories I'll ever have. I'll be on my deathbed, and I will still be able to remember Mike Dukakis in that tank.
Oh, with that the worst photo shoot ever,
It's got to be the worst. I don't remember that well, but if I remember right, the race was pretty close at that time, and then that happened, and it was all over. I never had a chance after that. So let's be honest here as we get into one of our annual traditions around here, the best and worst cities to drive in.
I love it.
We all know that the worst cities to drive in are the ones right next to yours.
Yep.
That is how it always goes.
We've well established this. Yes, we have.
And let's also admit we could all be better drivers, all of us.
Yes.
An annual study ranked 100 U.S. cities to determine the best and worst cities to drive in. They considered 30 different factors like traffic, weather, accidents, gas prices, parking, and how much it costs to maintain your car.
Right.
The 10 best cities, the 10 best cities include 5 cities in Texas. Corpus Christi, Texas was number 1, followed by Greensboro, North Carolina, Boise, Idaho, Scottsdale, Arizona, Laredo, Texas, Lubbock, Texas, and Birmingham, Alabama.
Okay.
Plano, Texas, Austin, Texas, and Winston-Salem, North Carolina, and another North Carolina city, Raleigh, ranked in the 11th. So Raleigh was just outside of the top 10.
Wow.
God, I love saying Raleigh.
Raleigh.
I love saying Raleigh.
Good name.
The 10 worst included 4 cities in California. Philadelphia is number 1, followed by Oakland, Washington, D.C., New York City, Chicago, San Francisco, Detroit, Los Angeles, San Jose, California, and Baltimore.
Okay.
Interesting list.
That is always. It's always fascinating. Yeah.
And not a real surprise.
No, it's not.
Now, I think one thing to keep in mind with this, too, more, when you see this, a lot of the time, it is East Coast cities and states that tend to be the worst.
Right.
They also have the oldest roads in the country.
And the most narrow roads, for that matter. Yeah.
Something have you ever driven in Boston? With this and everything. But then that gets thrown out the window when the top, like California has 5 in the top 10.
Yeah, exactly.
And they got nothing but space out there. Like, they should at least.
Right.
Now, they also have something, if you haven't driven in California, 10-lane highways.
Mm-hmm.
And when you create a 10-lane highway, you got to, like, the construction workers, as they're putting the brick to mortar and all that. All right, well, this is going to be a nightmare. This is going to be, there's going to be some rage on this road.
Yeah.
Like, road rage may have even been invented because of this. Like, I as they were building it, like, you know what? We should have road rage.
It first came out, yes.
What do you expect to have happen when you have a 10-lane highway? I've told the story before.
Yeah.
The worst driver, the most road rage I've seen is in California highways, but they're so cool, calm and collected outside of the vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
But in the vehicle, you get a so-called hippie in a VW Bug, and they're screaming at you words you've never heard before.
It's that little rage machine that they get into and drive around in.
Something about it.
I don't know. It makes you want to rethink about our transportation system.
Yeah.
It really does, you know. Man, does everyone need a car? Do we all need cars? I don't know. Maybe not. Do we all need 2 cars? And I'm just as guilty as everyone else, you know.
But should it be, getting a license be a little tough?
I don't know.
No, I mean.
Maybe that 20 minute test once in your life isn't enough, you know.
Well, I certainly think that some of the laws out there might be a little bit better, too.
Right, right.
Madison ranks 39th on the list. St. Paul, Minnesota, 41st. Where did Milwaukee end up? I know Milwaukee was a little bit lower on the list. St. Louis is at 57. Minneapolis at 59.
Yeah. Wait a minute. How come St. Paul and Minneapolis are so different from each other? They're right next to each other. What the heck?
It's a very good question. It's a very, very good question, especially some of the factors here.
Yeah.
Milwaukee came in at 88th. So pretty low on the list.
That's not a surprise.
It's a top 100 here. Mm-hmm. So Milwaukee just outside of the top 10 of toughest places or worst places to drive.
Right, right.
And all of this is a good reminder that we could all be better on the road.
Yeah, yeah.
All of us could be.
We could be very much so.
Alaska ranks 61st, and that almost seems unfair.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Like, how does that work?
Like, I mean, I you know.
How many cars are there in Alaska?
That just seems wrong. Like, I'm not going to pretend like I know everything about Alaska.
I thought they traveled in nothing but boats up there, honestly. I thought that's what they did.
Yeah. The dog sled. I thought it was the dog sled.
I hope no one in Alaska is listening. They're going to be very upset.
We had a longtime listener for years that would call in from Alaska. We haven't heard from him in a long time. I hope he's doing all right, though. But I'd love to hear from that one.
Yeah.
If you've driven in Alaska, I want to know about it. I want to know what it's like.
Seriously, I'm just curious. Yeah.
Because I've heard from you and Melissa and some others about driving in Hawaii.
And how
different that is.
Yeah.
You talk about narrow roads from what I've heard over there. It's pretty narrow. A quick reminder to everybody out there that we are collecting all kinds of things for Halloween. Mm-hmm. If you are a nonprofit group and you are hosting a Halloween activity, we want it. We want to know about it. We want to let the audience know about mm-hmm. it. We'd like to share it with our listeners. So get those to us. You can email us, info@WFHR.com. Mm-hmm. Give us a call at 715-424-1300. And, of course, you can direct message us on our Facebook pages if that's easier for you. Just how you get us your birthdays and anniversaries, it's another way that you can, of course, get us the Halloween events going on in our area.
Absolutely, and we love to get those out to the public.
And as we get closer to All Hallows Eve, we will, of course, have our trick-or-treat times for you. Maybe we'll even create a commercial for it or something to have being played for you. We're looking forward to that.
Yep.
That's coming up for you as well. And be listening next hour. Not only will we have some entertainment news for you, but we're going to be giving away tickets to Willie Nelson and Company, Willie and Family Live.
Mm-hmm.
Great concert coming to the Performing Arts Center tomorrow.
Tomorrow, everyone. Yes.
Get your tickets.
You'll want to be there because I will be seeing you there, everyone. Yes, indeed.
Yeah. We want you there. Listen for those tickets coming up.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.